Hi, and welcome back to the Business of Healthcare podcast. I'm your host, Tara Humphrey. I run an award-winning healthcare consultancy specialising in supporting primary care networks. I'm a facilitator. I am a mum of three. I have an MBA, and I would class myself as a bit of an adventurer. And I absolutely love all things business, all things leadership, all things management. So I created this podcast for clinical and non-clinical colleagues working in the field of health and care, and for those of you looking to develop your leadership skills. Every week we release an episode which focuses on the hard and soft skills required to lead in this increasingly complex environment as we move to delivering more integrated care. So let's jump into this week's episode. Hey, and welcome back to the Business of Healthcare podcast. I hope you guys are doing well. So in this episode, I'm interviewing Anna Mantle, who is the founder of a charity called Food Friends, which is a meal sharing initiative to connect members of the community. If you are a regular listener of the podcast, you may have heard me talk about my food friend, Joan. Weekly or sometimes bi-weekly, I take her around a home-cooked meal. And I just feel really passionate about it. I think that it's such an amazing and simple concept. And even though I am busy, it's not that time consuming and it gives me energy. It is very motivating, very rewarding. And I just would love for more people to know about it and to get involved. Now, I am based in East Kent and this is a local initiative, but they are growing. And at the very least, if you're already part of your community, whether you are the chair of your athletics committee or you volunteer and play football, if you already do something, amazing. I'm not asking any more of you. If you don't, maybe this podcast might pique your interest for you to look into your community to see what's there. And that is all I ask. Enjoy. Hey, Anna, thank you so much for joining me today on the Business of Healthcare podcast. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
For probably 9 months, I signed up to become a food friend because of my assistant, Valentina. And I go on about it all of the time. And I thought I need to bring Anna on for you to share why you set it up, what it is, what it's about, and kind of how it got started, because I just think it's absolutely fantastic. So let's go from the beginning. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Anna. I'm a mum, got a couple of kids, almost teens now. And if I go back to before I started Food Friends, I was working as a registered nurse. And I became friends with a lady in my local community called June, who was in her 80s. And June had lived in Whitstable for a long time. She went to school in Whitstable as a child in the war, but she found herself feeling really disconnected. So although her roots were so deep, she had really few connections and she was feeling really lonely. And I met her at a time where I was in a position where, as a mum, I was juggling work and kids, but on that work, sleep, repeat, treadmill. Forming a friendship with June really, really helped me. She gave me guidance and she just became a great friend, basically. So I set up Food Friends to allow other people like myself with busy lives to meet someone that they otherwise wouldn't meet in the community. So Food Friends, we're now a small charity. So we're based here in East Kent. And our mission is to combat loneliness and isolation in communities through food and friendship. We do that through our meal sharing initiative. So we match volunteers who love to cook and would like to share extra portions of their home cooked food with a neighbour who'd benefit from the delicious meal, but also the company and conversation that it's delivered with. I'm sure that everyone listening to this can remember a time where life was a bit rubbish or feeling unwell and someone that they love bought them something delicious, be it a big slice of cake, some homemade soup, just how that made them feel. Sharing food is an age-old act of kindness, isn't it? It's something we all know how great it feels to receive, but we also know how great it is to give. And that is exactly what lies at the heart of the Food Friends model.
So can I just say, actually, I don't love to cook.
Don't you?
No. So the unintended consequence of this is now, so I don't just make an extra portion for Joan, we also make an extra portion for me to bring to work. So now I'm more healthier because we cook more and we've just got leftovers for days and days and days. And I just wanted to share, I suppose, my reason for signing up. I don't know how to describe it, but I think for a long time, I just want to be more part of my community. And I go to the shops. I should know people in my community. I should be able to walk down the road and go, hi. But I think I've always got my head down. I'm always rushing onto the next. I've always got my headphones in and I'm not part of my community. I'm an employer. I contribute to my community and the kids are here. And for ages and ages and ages, I just kept thinking, what can I do? Valentina just mentioned that that's what she did. And I was a little bit like, well, I don't want to sign up and not be able to.
Is it too much of a commitment?
A big commitment. And then I don't want to then feel like a failure and I don't want to let anybody down. And then I just thought, well, just try it. You never know if you can't try it. So even though your mission was people that love to cook, I don't cook. And for anybody that does have a busy lifestyle that thinks, can I commit any time? I am busy, but I'm not too busy to do the things that I want, you know, like in reality.
And also, you know, nutrition is important to you and perhaps cooking nutritious food is something that you would prioritise. So you are already cooking, aren't you? Even if being part of Food Friends has encouraged you maybe to think about that more, which is obviously a positive thing. But I think you've hit the nail on the head, though, when you say you want to be part of the community, but for some reason you're not someone that walks down the street and is able to, you know, be like, hi, hi. And I think that's because it's really hard now to be like that. You go into the supermarket to do your shopping. You don't really have to speak to anyone. You go to your self-automated checkout. There's no chit chat. The world now, it encourages disconnection. It's hard to connect with people. And I think that's why we are faced with so many challenges as a community, because it is hard to meet people that you wouldn't otherwise cross paths with, isn't it? If you're busy and you're looking after your children and you're on that mission just to get through the day. But I guess what it shows you from your experience is that stepping outside of that busyness and doing something great like sharing a home-cooked meal has benefits for yourself as well as the person that you're delivering to.
100%. You know, like I can't give Joan crap.
She'd probably tell you if you did.
So, yeah, it's impacted our whole family and the kids get involved. And my husband gets involved as well. So my husband's always like, Joan can have that. Or at the weekend, he'll say, what meal are you going to take to Joan? So we're all involved.
I think that, you know, obviously the reason Food Friends is great is because it does focus on that extra portion of a home cooked meal. And we know that, you know, in the UK, they estimate like 10 billion edible meals are wasted a year by UK households. So what we're doing is trying to encourage reducing that waste, doing something great with it. But the reality is also that once you develop a meaningful connection with someone, you want to take them something great. You know, if you know Joan loves roast chicken, you know, as your friendship develops, you are more likely to be like, let's have roast chicken because Joan loves that. And that's a beautiful thing because that's kind of accountability and caring. And that should be at the heart of every community, right? We should all be thinking about each other in that way.
So where did you start? How did you go from the idea to it up and running?
So I got together a steering group of people locally, so local charities, a counsellor here, and thrashed the idea around with them and kind of brainstormed what we need to consider. And then we got a really small pot of money from Canterbury City Council through their innovation fund to trial it. And that was in 2019. So we had a good year before the pandemic hit. And in that year, we became really established. And what was great about bringing those professionals together to discuss the idea was that it really obviously highlighted, although we are just delivering a meal, it is so much more than that. And as an organisation, there are so many things that we have to think about to keep it safe. For example, food hygiene, lone working, safeguarding. So we were able to kind of really develop our processes and procedures to make sure that we started in the right direction in a really sustainable way, in a really safe way. So we had that first initial year. And in that year, we built up really good professional links with GPs, social prescribers who were referring people to Food Friends, which was amazing. And that meant that when the pandemic hit, we were perfectly placed to kind of ramp up what we were delivering. So as well as our home cooked meal sharing initiative, which kind of flourished, obviously, because there were more people that were kind of initially interested in volunteering throughout the pandemic, there was an increased need. We also pivoted what we were delivering and also supported families faced into food insecurity and disconnection because the schools were closed. So we did lots of mass cookups around town using restaurants that were vacant. And we partnered with another local charity After that last lockdown, the third lockdown, we supported other organisations to develop further projects to support those families. And then we kind of ramped up our home cooked meal sharing initiative. And at that time, I kind of was Food Friends with a massive task force of volunteers. But now we're in this amazing place where over the last 18 months, we've really developed sustainability as a small charity. So we've got three coordinators that work for Food Friends, and we're not just operational in Whitstable, but across the Canterbury district in Faversham. And we've just started in Ashford as well. So we've got a really fantastic model that we know works well. We've got some great technology behind us. We use the Volunteero app, which enables us to kind of streamline our processes and procedures, and is a really great way to engage with volunteers. We're kind of in a really fantastic position where, you know, we're working with higher numbers of people and we're looking to geographically scale as well.
Are you still working as a nurse?
No, I don't work full time for Food Friends, but kind of 4 days a week I spend working with Food Friends, supporting the coordinators, and then on further development as well.
Feels like full time to me.
It is full time. Thanks for highlighting that. It is full time.
Not that you need to, but do you capture any outcomes?
Yeah, so we look at the sustainability of food friendships. So last year we supported 92 food friendships, and out of those 92 food friendships, just under a half were sustained beyond a year. Another quarter was sustained over 6 months and kind of still going strong. And only 1 in 10 roughly don't work out. And that could be for like a myriad of reasons, obviously. So looking at the sustainability is really important to us because we are trying to build sustainable connections within the community. We also look at rough numbers of meals that are being delivered. But over the next, between now and November, we've received some funding to support the development of our impact monitoring, which will be really important for us as we scale. But I think it's really interesting because Food Friends' success is because we're not a service. We are an initiative. We're about community. We're about supporting one another. We're not about being invasive. And what can be really challenging for a charity like ourselves that's delivering something to improve health and well-being is if you look at those kind of typical impact points, they can involve really invasive questioning, which might not necessarily be suitable for what we're trying to deliver and actually might take away the beauty of what we're doing. So over the next few months, we're going to be streamlining our impact monitoring. We're going right back to our theory of change, thinking strategically about how we're going to be monitoring our impact moving forward.
It's a really good point because I think from my perspective, it's easy. Signing up, getting the CRB check, Kathy came round to mine. So I understand what you mean. The reason why I ask the question is, yeah, if you want to grow and you want to bid for money, people will say, well, that sounds lovely, but what difference have you made? And even though the difference would be, well, actually, we're supporting hundreds of, you know, like people that are lonely and building connections, they'll be like, but and, you know, like, and.
We've got fantastic qualitative data in terms of kind of stories and testimonials, and we're collecting those all the time. But in terms of that quantitative data, it is really important that we strategically think about how we can monitor that. Well, not only just for funders, but also to improve what we do, because that's the whole point of impact and monitoring and evaluation, right? So over the next few months, we're going to have a real drive with that. And also we'll probably be looking to get our volunteers together to discuss that as well, making sure that volunteers and Food Friends are involved in that process.
Is it hard to attract volunteers?
We have a steady stream of volunteers, and most of those come through social media and word of mouth. They don't tend to come through traditional, maybe volunteering centres or portals. I think increasing our visibility, having a focus on communications is also really important to us as we move forward. That's kind of in line with our impact monitoring because that's how we'll keep growing our numbers. So we haven't had problems recruiting volunteers, but the reality is we always have a waiting list. We always have more referrals waiting to be matched. We cannot get ourselves enough volunteers. You know, volunteer recruitment will always be something that we have to focus on.
And would you be able to share, you know, like some of the profile of your volunteers? Because I think I was really surprised you had a winter celebration, which was fantastic. My middle daughter made a cake. And I was talking to somebody and was just saying, I was so surprised. My perception of who volunteers was ridiculous. I don't know what I was thinking. And it was lovely to see just all walks of life there. So could you be able to share a little bit about some of your volunteers?
Yeah. So our volunteers range from young adults doing their Duke of Edinburgh Award with support of their parents to people in their early 20s, right through to our oldest volunteers, 83. So we have a real diverse range of volunteers. A lot of volunteers work full-time like yourself, Tara. Got people that commute to London 5 days a week and are still volunteering with us. Got people that are retired. Got people looking after a young family that really want the opportunity to connect with someone else that they wouldn't otherwise cross paths with, and either taking a child round to see somebody and saying hello, or also just having a little bit of time away from the family to enjoy that connection. So we have a real, you know, a real mix of volunteers, which is really great. And I think that's what's special about Food Friends, is it allows people with busy lives to commit to a volunteering opportunity that is flexible, that can fit around a changeable week.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it doesn't have to be every week.
No, what we find is things don't tend to go according to plan if expectations aren't the same. So when people sign up to volunteer with us, we kind of say, how often are you roughly looking to share? Is it once a week? Is it once every 2 weeks? Is it once a month? Is it just you love baking and you want to share some cakes? You know, so we can get an idea from the beginning as to what you're looking to commit to. And we want to be flexible. We want people to have the opportunity to volunteer with us. And so we'd be really flexible.
How do people end their partnership, and what is your role? So if they've done it for 6 months and they've gone, for whatever reason, I don't feel like I've got the time, I don't want to do it anymore, how does that partnership come to an end?
Their Food Friends coordinator will always be there to support them. So if a volunteer has to step back, a coordinator would be there. It happens in different ways, but often a volunteer might come to the coordinator and say, oh, I'm really sorry, but there's been a change of circumstance. I can't commit to volunteering. And then the coordinator will manage that situation to make sure that everyone knows, everyone's happy. We'd look to rematch that food friend with another volunteer, and we prioritise that because they've already been involved in our meal sharing already. So one of the main roles that a coordinator has is to kind of manage existing food friendships as well, make sure that everybody feels well supported. That might mean supporting a volunteer through a tricky situation. It might be sourcing some extra training for volunteers. For example, we've had dementia awareness training. We've had volunteers that have done kind of some very specialised courses to make them feel comfortable supporting their food friend. It might be that a volunteer has a concern about their food friend. The coordinator will pick that up and then refer the food friend on to other services that might be able to support them living happily and healthily at home. Last year, our coordinators made 55 referrals to social and healthcare partners to support that person within the community. So that role is really essential. It's not just signing up volunteers and speaking to new referrals referred to us. It really is about kind of supporting the community, supporting volunteers and food friends.
So just going back to the start, there'll be lots of people listening to this that have got an idea and will think, no, I won't be able to do it. Or they think it's the best idea ever and everyone is going to love it. I suppose, what gave you the confidence to go, do you know what, I'm just going to do this? Did you have any aspirations for it to be as big as it is now?
No, so definitely not. I started initially when I was talking about getting the group of local stakeholders together to discuss developing Food Friends. So we were supported by a local umbrella charity that we were able to secure our first funds through. So I was never looking to form a charity. We just grew and then needed to do that because we needed to develop a board that could support us with that, like a knowledgeable board. So yeah, I wasn't looking to. But what I would say to anyone listening that might have an idea, like, you've just got to go for it, but also to seek support from others, to not do it alone, because there'll be lots of people in your community that have the knowledge and skills to support you growing that idea. And I think that's really important. Working with others is of paramount importance.
What challenges have you faced?
I think going from running a project completely by yourself to growing your team has been challenging. And I think what I find really challenging now is that I'm a step away from the everyday workings of Food Friends. And I do miss that. I miss not visiting people, not checking in with volunteers all the time. And I've got a great team of people that do that, which is amazing. But it is, for me, it's been challenging taking on that different role, which I am really enjoying, but it is just a change, isn't it? I think funding is always very challenging for small charities. We've been really, really fortunate to develop a great relationship through commissioning. So we've been supported by Kent County Council for the last 18 months, which has really helped us grow as an organisation. I was really fortunate last year to be accepted onto a social entrepreneur programme called The Multiplier. And that was incredibly, it was just life changing, really. I was with a cohort of 13 others that were chosen from across the UK to be supported in scaling innovative ideas. And I think meeting with others that were going through the same thing, faced with the same challenges, was incredible. and to listen to other people and their experiences. So yeah, my advice to anyone looking to develop a project or make that spark of an idea into reality, I think seeking support from others is probably my number one piece of advice, because I think that's where I found my strength in others.
And in regards to funding, are you, without saying rude, you know, like surviving year on year, or have you been able to source funding over a longer period than 12 months to help you relax a little bit?
Yeah, so we have, but things might change because of commissioning, because of changes to government. So at the moment, we're kind of fundraising for our next following financial year, and we're kind of part way in doing that. Ideally, we'd be working 3 years in advance if we could. That's what we're striving for. And I think sustainability is the key, isn't it? Because there's no power to anything if it can't be sustained. So for Food Friends, all these amazing connections we're sparking, we've got to be able to sustain it. And I really do believe that the initiative is community led. So it should come from the community, right? It should be led by someone within the community. And unfortunately for Food Friends, that does involve a paid role. It involves a paid coordinator. It can't just be all volunteer led. And I think that's always going to be the challenge with an initiative like this, is that it is going to have to be run by staff to make it sustainable.
And when you said you're in the process of fundraising, what does that look like?
So we're applying to small grants. So we'll be looking for grant funding to supplement our commission contract at the moment.
And then another question I had is, do you need to navigate around the NHS?
So we work really closely with the NHS in terms of all of our referrals come predominantly through professional pathways, whether that be through the primary care network, from lots of different teams that work in the community. So we have a really great connection with the NHS. I think what we're seeing in the communities that we work is increased challenges for people to maybe access healthcare. That does have a knock-on effect on us, of course, and on our volunteers. So I think we are seeing strains within the community. I think that is apparent.
Has there been an opportunity for lots of volunteers volunteering for different organisations to come together? And the reason why I'm saying this is a good example. It's not volunteering, but when I gave blood, an organisation called DKMS messaged me and said people that give blood also give their blood stem cells. So it was a bit like, if I volunteer for Food Friends, I get it, I like it, I might do something else for another organisation. Do you guys cross-fertilise in that way?
I think that's where volunteering can be strengthened. Because at the moment, for example, if you volunteer with us, we'll have a separate process for you signing up to volunteer. We might signpost you to another organisation, or you might say, oh, Anna, I'm really enjoying this. Are you aware of any other organisations that I could do X, Y and Z to support them within a volunteering role? But you wouldn't necessarily be able to transfer. They probably have their own sign-up process, which I think is a real weakness, because that isn't encouraging volunteering, is it? It's not encouraging people to get involved in volunteering. And I think that's something that moving forward will hopefully be developed, because that's going to be of paramount importance if we want more people to volunteer and support health and well-being, essentially.
Definitely, because I think, you know, like, I don't know what I don't know. I don't know what else is out there. And then I suppose if people are interested, we want to make it easy. You don't want to, you know, like, you need a different app and you need to go for all of this. If you've already done it, can it not follow through?
Exactly.
Well, I absolutely love it. I'm a fan. Really, 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 really enjoy it. There's no downsides. There's been a couple of weeks where I might not be around at the weekend and Joan is really fine. So I have not experienced any downside. It's only been an up. And my food friend is Joan. She just teaches me. She teaches me what's important. She's encouraging me to improve my saving and get investing. So that's been really, really good. And also, I think I just value my health. I do exercise, but she's really inspiring, the fact that she's not as mobile, but she is mobile. She's got a beautiful, beautiful house. And I think it's about investing from my, not like things, it's like when I'm older, I want to own my house. I want to be financially secure. So I think it's like a flash forward. It's like, Tara, you're not going to be this age forever. You know, I want a nice, comfortable lifestyle. So yeah, every day's a school day when I go around there and I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
and
that's fantastic.
Really. And I'm really, really, really thankful for Valentina for mentioning it, and thankful for you for setting it up. I think it's fantastic. You should be so proud.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks for having me on to talk about it. It's been great. But like anyone listening, I think for us as well, to support us, it isn't just signing up to volunteer with us, but kind of spreading the word about the power of the initiative and sharing home cooked food to kind of bring the community together is really important. So even if it's just following us or liking a post on socials or whatever, there's real power to that. So yeah, please support us in whatever way you can.
Actually, one last question. If someone lives in Lincolnshire and they say, well, we don't have that, but we want to set up our own Food Friends, or we want to be like a chapter of your Food Friends, what would you advise them?
You can reach out to us through the website, through this kind of volunteer interest. If you're outside of the area, then you can register your interest with us. And I think as we grow, that's kind of what we'll be considering, is how can we help other communities to set up their own meal share initiatives across the UK. So there's one meal sharing initiative in Scotland and they're fantastic. I speak to them and we compare operations. But apart from that, meal sharing just doesn't happen, which to me is ludicrous, because it's such a powerful way of connecting people and engaging, like you say, people who wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to volunteer. So I really do believe that meal sharing should happen in every community like this.
What's your website?
It's food-friends.co.uk.
Anna, thank you so, so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you like what you hear, I would absolutely love it if you left us an iTunes rating and 5-star review. I know many of you give us a shout out on social media, which is lovely to see you guys listening to the podcast. So please come and find us on Twitter at THC Primary Care, on Instagram and on LinkedIn. Just look for Tara Humphrey. And if you're not subscribed to our newsletter, please do. You get to hear more insights, more confessions, some tips and tools, and a roundup of our activity over the week. So click on join the newsletter in the show notes, and I will see you in the next episode.